Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 409 of Geek Town Radio. We are back. It's a new year and a sort of new season for the show. And I have with me...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long break this year because I was away. So it's taken a little bit longer than usual to come back, but we are now going to be back and running the shows right through until I go on holiday again, I guess. But yeah, so Happy New Year. It's almost the end of January, but it has been a while since we've caught up. What have you been up to?
Well, I got caught up with the third season of Harley Quinn, the 10 episodes, which I think is the season finale. It ended in a very sort of season finale kind of place. I liked the season. I think from what I remember, the last season is better, but that's not to say that this one's particularly bad. They made some interesting choices in the season, but it was still the good show that I really, really like. And see, I was going to say, because I used to say before, it's the best thing that DC's got going at the moment, but there isn't actually a lot of things active on the plate for DC.
That's true.
Because most of it's finished or cancelled. I mean, I finished up the DCEU the other day as well, so that's literally like no longer existing anymore or whatever. But still one of my favourite DC things in a while, at least anyway. So I quite enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to see where they go from where they finished up this season as well. I was just remembering as well when the 10th, because I thought I was really, really far behind. Apparently I wasn't that far behind because I was trying to catch up with other stuff and that. About where the Valentine's episode is?
Yes. Rather than putting it at the start of the season, which would have been the obvious thing to do, they decided to stick it at the end of the season for reasons.
They've done things like that before, but
I mean the notorious Batwoman thing when it comes to E4, where they aired it out of order. So the special, I think, went out on the 29th of December.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So presumably it's up on Channel 4 website, but
yeah, I just sort of let the episodes play one after the other. So
so it ended up getting tagged onto the end. Yeah,
but no, still really good show. Bane is still really funny in that. I liked his sort of not his special episode, but there's an episode where he gets a lot more screen time. I thought that was
where he goes to ends up kind of going and making pasta, which I mean,
that's
entirely
funny.
Random, but very, very funny.
Yeah, and they make it seem like really deadly serious and everything.
Yes,
but in a spoofy sort of way. So that was great. I can't remember if I've said this or where I've said this. I speak on a lot of things. Of course, they've still got the Kite Man spin-off happening. If they were to announce a Bane spin-off TV show, that would be really, really quite excellent. So anyway, what did you think of the recent season?
I've still got some episodes to go, actually, because with me being away, I've all the stuff that I kind of regularly watch, because I was in America, so I hadn't had a chance to catch up on everything properly. So that's on my list of things that I need to go and catch up with. But I have been enjoying it quite a lot. It's just such a fun show. Kaylee Cuoco's fantastic as Harley in that. And I like the fact that it's not like a lot of animated series, which just sort of resets every single time back to the same sort of setup. They've altered the setup with every single season. So, you know, you had her and a sort of bunch of cronies with the first season, and then they've advanced and changed with each season moving forward. So, you know, the latest one, you've got Ivy running the Legion of Doom and Harley working with the Bat family. So I like the fact that they take a different angle with every single one, which is really fun and, you know, keeps the series fresh and slightly different. And yeah, I believe the Kite Man series is still an ongoing thing. I don't think it's been released yet. So
the ultimate question is, does James Gunn want that, sir?
Well, with the animated stuff, with the animated stuff, he's been quite happy to leave it as Elseworlds things. I mean, there was a report out confirmed by James Gunn on his Threads feed, because he doesn't use Twitter as much as he used to, but he's on sort of Threads and Blue Sky and tends to respond to people on there. Somebody asked the question about the J.J. Abrahams Superman movie. Whether that's still happening, and apparently it is still in development, even though they are, you know, it won't be part of the new DCU. It's in development as an Elseworlds thing, in the same way that the Batman universe is a sort of separate universe. There is that JJ movie is still sort of there. I don't know exactly what they're going to do for that Superman film. I know they were talking about making it the Black Superman, which there is in the comics as well. There's a Kelvin, I think he's called. President of, in his universe, it's Superman is president. And I mean, it's an interesting character to bring in, because he works in the comic books quite a lot in the multiverse. He sort of runs a Justice League that is protecting the multiverse sort of thing. So there are interesting things you could do with that as a possibility. But apparently that film's still in development as well. So, I mean, that's been the thing. Although he is developing this new sort of universe, there are these little offshoot projects like the Joker movies and like the Batman universe and like Harley Quinn and, you know, the other animated things. A lot of them are all sort of separate from the main DCU, but he's perfectly happy to let these things continue to rumble on. So we'll see. I think it would be crazy to cancel the Harley Quinn series whilst they still want to do it, because it is extremely popular and very funny. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Next thing is through heavy recommendation from my sister, through a few different conversations. Yeah, she's been recommending I watch One Piece, and I kept saying to her that I was trying to get a few other things watched first, which I went and did. Things like Sex Education Season 4, which was brilliant. Watched two episodes yesterday of One Piece. I knew a couple of things about it, but I didn't know a lot. Obviously, I was just relying on the show to tell me what's going on. Basically, there's this guy called, is it Luffy, I think is his name?
Yeah, Luffy, I think.
And he wants to be King of the Pirates, which he says quite a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy who I think is the King of the Pirates. He commits a crime and he gets publicly executed. But before he dies, he says, hey, I've got this treasure. And obviously, you know, if the King of the Pirates or whatever says, I've got this treasure, everyone's going to get interested. And he does it as this last sort of like, hey, I know I'm going to be executed. You lot go and, you know, get this One Piece thing. That's why it's called that, which I also didn't know that either. And there's these fruits, I think, that people can eat, sometimes by accident, sometimes not, which gives them different abilities, and some of which are quite sort of interesting. I won't get into spoilers or whatever. The main guy we have here, Luffy, he can stretch, essentially. Yeah. He's either his skin's rubber or he's made out of rubber or it's something like that. Anyway, all that aside, I found it to be very fun and a lot of energy, which is really nice as well. A couple of little sort of political kind of movements going on between different characters. There's like a father and son thing of this other character. There's this sort of mysterious guy who's got a couple of swords and he's very confident at fighting lots of people, but he should be because he's really good. And essentially they kind of slowly but surely and somewhat accidentally form this little sort of pirate group. I don't think it's fully assembled yet because there's like quite a few characters, but obviously it's early doors, and they get this, go to get this safe from this guy and all that kind of thing. It's basically just fun, sort of like fun pirate adventures. I thought it was quite good, not to be taken, you know, majorly seriously. It's a good sort of fun time. I've never actually myself personally seen the anime. Obviously I'm aware of it and that sort of stuff, and I've seen bits in places, but I've never seen the episodes, which is weird. So I watched episode one, came off, went back on Netflix later, watched episode two. Of course Netflix goes, hey, here's the anime for you. I was like, oh, cool. I won't watch that yet, but I'll sort of like check the information. And there's just three random episodes in the thousands that are in there. It says like episode 1012. And I'm like, I can't start there. What are you doing? But yeah, just three sort of random episodes in the middle of the show's existence, which was on there. So that was nice, I suppose. But now I'm going to continue watching it. I'm interested to see where this guy's story goes and stuff. But yeah, I thought it was good fun. It'll be interesting to see. I was thinking of something while watching this yesterday. Obviously, they've got the Avatar thing coming up as well. Okay, Stranger Things is your big thing. You've got rid of a lot of shows. We know all that kind of stuff, right? So what's going to be kind of your next big thing? And I get that now and again, Netflix has these random shows that come out of nowhere and blow up and people watch them and, you know, those sorts of things. Like there was the Michelle Keegan thing the other week, which a lot of people were watching out of nowhere. I wonder if, because a lot of people seem to be very happy with the Avatar trailer. Again, I've not got any personal thing within that, and people seem to like One Piece. So if you, because they tried to do the other one, one of the other ones before, which
Cowboy really Bebop.
A lot of people said that wasn't very
terrible.
Good.
Yes.
I wonder if now you've maybe got a handle on it, and now you could lean into that a bit more, because anime stuff is really, really, really popular. And I wonder if they could do something again. And none of these are their things. They're all licensing and adapting them. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if that could be one of their next things that they get into. What do you think of One Piece?
I've only seen a little bit of it. I've not seen the whole thing. It's another one that's on my list of things to go and watch, because the reviews of it have been incredibly positive. Yeah. The fans seem to have embraced it. And, you know, when it comes to anime fans, you really have to nail it and get it right. Mm-hmm. That seems to have gone down very well. They have ordered a second season of it, so that's good. Because, I mean, they've tried a couple of times with anime series to try and get it right in live action. And I mean, Cowboy Bebop was the one which sort of went down like a lead balloon, and they did a live action version of Death Note as well, which didn't go down well. So there's been a few that they've tried. The Avatar stuff, not related to James Cameron thing, this is Avatar The Last Airbender, which they're hoping can rinse out the taste of the movie, which was done ages ago, because that was apparently appalling. They're hoping that the live action series will be much better, and I think the live action series was developed with the guy that actually came up with the comic book in the first place, so I think they are learning. It's taken them a while, but they are learning how to do this stuff, and this seems to have gone down incredibly well. So I do want to go and look at it, because a lot of people have told me it is incredibly fun. So I saw a few clips and bits and pieces of it, but I haven't actually gone and sat and watched it yet.
Nice. My last bit, saving the best bit for last, I watched a film called Missing, which I meant to watch a long time ago but didn't for various reasons. This is the, not the sequel, but kind of the follow-up to Searching, which came out in, I want to say, about 2018 or something. So essentially the concept of these is they are kind of found footage films, but this is less sort of like someone walks around with a camera and more someone investigating something on a laptop. And the rules that these two films, Searching and Missing, have to follow is you don't film like normal footage. It has to be like screen capture from something. It can be something like someone takes a video call session from their laptop to their phone and takes that with them somewhere, because you're still using the phone as a camera kind of thing, if you know what I mean. So it uses that concept again. It's really incredible, this second film. I don't know if I'd say it's better or worse than the other one, but they're both very, very good. The idea this time is there's this young daughter played by Riley from Last of Us. She was in the Left Behind episode.
Storm Reed?
Yes, that's her name. Yeah, played by her, who was in the Last of Us Left Behind episode. Her mum goes off with this new guy on holiday. Seems all quite simple and straightforward. And I love how these films just build up from, oh, this simple thing is just happening, this person's going somewhere or whatever, and they're going to go on holiday or whatever. Everything seems perfectly normal. She's been, you know, left with money and that kind of stuff, and gets told, hey, don't throw parties and, you know, don't get into trouble, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She gets a reminder, I think it's like 3 or 4 days later. It's like a holiday weekend thing or something. And she has to go to the airport after, obviously, they're supposed to come back to pick her mum up, and her mum doesn't show up. And then that's where the first kind of early twisting turning point goes, because then it's, okay, where's my mum? Where's she gone? And then that opens up the door of a very eventful sequence of events, full of twists and turns and things. There's a couple of little points in this film that kind of, I'm not quite sure if that would work kind of thing, but they were kind of small, and it didn't affect the overall kind of film itself. This is one of them films that will sort of, the way it will reveal, oh, you thought this character was this thing, but this character is involved with this thing. And it will give you this just really spine-chilling sort of type of reveals of like, oh, that person's doing that, which means that they're involved in this, which means there's a deeper thing. And the way this story goes in terms of a sort of conspiracy sense of like, okay, what was my mum really involved in, and those kinds of things, is really quite incredible the way that they pull it off. And it's different enough from the first film and that kind of thing. I mean, it's different characters and all that. So really, really quite excellent. And I was watching, some of you probably have heard of him, Chris Stuckman. He's a well-known YouTuber. And he said about like the craft of these films and how long they take. And you really can't get many details wrong. And the restrictions that the director has, because it's like, okay, the character can't suddenly just like walk into a different room and have a director follow them. It has to be screen capture type stuff, and all that. It's really, really well crafted and put together. So it was brilliant. I hope we get another one, but it'll probably take another 4 or 5 years or something. Just absolutely outstanding. Have you seen any of those films or anything?
I haven't, no. They are an interesting one. Do you want to go and check them out? I know you can find Missing. It's on Sky Cinema and Now.
I bought it on Apple.
Okay, so, and Now as well, yeah. I think, if you've got a cinema subscription. But yeah, I mean, you can buy it on Apple, Sky Store, you know, Google, YouTube,
VOD.
All the usual VOD places. I will go and look that up, because, as I say, I think it's on the Sky Cinema thing, so I should have access to it.
Cool, that's what I've been up to, David. How about you?
Well, since you mentioned it, actually, we'll start off with Fool Me Once, which is the latest Harlan Coben adaptation on Netflix. I did wonder whether he'd jump ship, because his previous show was actually on Prime Video, but Fool Me Once has been such a massive success for Netflix, they've actually ordered two more adaptations of his books. It's Danny Brocklehurst is the person behind all the Netflix adaptations, who probably best known these days for doing Brassic, but I mean, he's done a million other things, and he's been doing all of these. I think he even did the original one, which was called The Five, which was done for Sky. I think he actually did that one as well. I find Harlan Coben stuff really interesting, because all the novels are set in America, but all the TV shows are set in the UK. They transpose them all into the UK. For some reason, it just works. I don't know why that is, but yeah, that's what they do for all of them. But Fool Me Once, a really big twisty, turny kind of show. Michelle Keegan in the lead role. She's a wife whose husband is murdered in front of her by being shot. Then a few days later, she's got a young daughter. She's looking at the footage on the nanny cam and sees her husband playing with the daughter whilst she was out of the house. So that then sets off this whole thing of, is he alive? Is he dead? And all that sort of stuff. But there are other things going on there as well. It's really, really good. I mean, it is brilliantly acted. It's got some lovely twists and turns in it. You're never quite sure who's the good guy and who's the bad guy and all that sort of stuff. You've got Joanna Lumley in there playing the mother-in-law, and really scenery chewing in places, but he's a wonderfully kind of acerbic character that she plays there. And Dil Akhtar as well, who you'll know from things like, he was in Sweet Tooth, he was in the Utopia series and Murdered by My Father as well. He plays the police officer in it. So it's a really good cast. It does have Richard Armitage playing the husband, but obviously I can't really reveal how much he is actually in it, because of the fact that, you know, that's the whole part of the story. It's a really, really good group of people. It's another really good adaptation of the Harlan Coben stuff. I mean, I think this is the fourth or fifth they've done for Netflix. They've got two more adaptations incoming on based on two more books. And they're great things for Netflix because there is connective tissue because it's the same author that's done all the books and it's the same people behind it. But they're all one-off self-contained stories of 6 to 10 episodes. So for Netflix, it's fantastic because it's not something they have to cancel. You know? It's good, good, lastable quality content that they don't have to renew. You know, they don't have to make a decision on because it's all self-contained. So I don't know whether you've come across any of these. There's things like Safe was one.
Oh, right. I think I heard of that one. No, I haven't actually gone into this myself, but it was that kind of thing of browsing Twitter and whatever and heard, oh my God, have you seen such and such show? And I was like, okay, I've come across that. And then another person and then another person.
Yeah.
And it kind of just goes from there. It's strange how Netflix can sort of, because I don't think any other streaming service sort of has that, where one person will, well, not one person, but a few people will very randomly find this thing that is suddenly on there. And then like word of mouth happens and, you know, people kind of jump onto some stuff. I mean, I know word of mouth's a normal thing anyway. I was like, hey, gone into work and oh, did you see this thing? And you know, et cetera. But I notice it happens more with Netflix than anything else. Because I don't remember, I mean, may have mentioned it on Geek Town earlier or something like that, but I remember it was one of like their splash screen things and I noticed, I think Michelle Keegan's like face was the first sort of one there and I was like, oh, she's in something new. That's cool. I watched the trailer and it was quite good. And then of course I clicked it off and went about with my day because that's what we do. We read about stuff and watch trailers and then never watch things. So yeah, it seems good. So
yeah, the Harlan Coben ones, they're on Netflix. The Stranger, Stay Close, Fool Me Once, and then they've done, they've picked up Missing You and Runaway and the other two books that they're now adapting as well. So they've been a good set. If for some reason this particular one, Fool Me Once, seems to have really captured the imagination. I don't know whether it was the timing of the release of it or why this particular one suddenly landed for people. I don't know. It may have been Michelle Keegan being the lead in it and, you know, she's coming off the back.
Yeah,
of
she's popular over here, isn't she?
Yeah, she's hugely popular. She's been in a number of BBC shows as well. So I don't know. I don't know why this one particularly hit, but they've all been really good. I mean, if you liked Fool Me Once and haven't watched the others, go and watch the others because they're all of a similar quality and got great casts in. So worth going to check those out.
Nice.
Other things I watched, Fire Country, which is a show we've been waiting for a while. It's from SEAL Team's Max Thierot. It was one that he developed based on his sort of childhood experiences of growing up in what they call Fire Country, which is, well, most of California, really, during sort of, particularly during the summer months, where things randomly just set ablaze if you kind of so much as wave a light anywhere near them. The setup for this is a firefighter drama. He's playing a young convict and he's seeking redemption and a shorter prison sentence, and they have a convict firefighting program. So they enroll convicts that they think can be sort of trusted to go out and help fight fires. So yeah, that's the pretty much the basic setup of it. It's already got a second season incoming and they've got a spin-off in the works, which is going to be starring Marina Baccarin from Deadpool and Firefly and Gotham and all those things.
Oh,
as
right.
The
yeah.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
So they're obviously planning on spanning this out into sort of a bit more of a franchise kind of thing. So she will be a sheriff, so that'll be a police thing rather than a fire thing. So, you know, it's another kind of thing that they're looking to turn into a franchise by the looks of things. I have to say, the opening episode of it, I enjoyed it. It is a bit clunky, particularly the dialogue is a bit Basil Exposition in places. It's a bit ham-fisted and a bit heavy-handed. It's enjoyable enough, though, and I find Max there a really interesting character on screen. Some of the people around him, it's got Billy Burke in there, who's popped up in a million other things. He's really good. I think Billy Burke plays the opposing firehouse captain in Lone Star, the one that Rob Lowe has an issue with.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
So he's got some experience of playing firefighters and he ends up in this and he's sort of the head of the local firehouse. It was an interesting start. I've only seen one episode and I don't really want to judge it just on the pilot. I And obviously they're offloading a lot of information in that pilot about who everybody is and what the relationships are, and that ends in quite an interesting place. Like I say, it's a little bit clunky, that opening episode, in just how they deliver some stuff, but I think it has some potential, so I will keep watching it and see. I don't watch that many of these sorts of things, but that I was kind of interested in. So that's going out Wednesdays on Sky Witness, or be on now as well if you want to check that one out. Echo, of course, came out while we were off. The Disney series, I mean, it was fine, I thought. It did feel like a movie stretched over six episodes to me. And it's in that tricky position of not really being big enough for a movie which you could have released theatrically, because I don't think the character could carry it. But I think you could have made a movie for Disney Plus and got the same information across. It didn't really grab me all that much. I found some of it kind of entertaining, but I take it you've seen this.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did have a couple of issues with it and stuff, but I thought it was a really, really good series. I really liked, obviously, Kingpin's involvement, the little bits of Daredevil that we got. I liked exploring kind of like her family and stuff, and kind of the whole thing that's going on there. I won't get into spoilers, but that was really quite fun. I thought the violence of it was interesting. I think Disney kind of knows they're gonna, because of some of the other characters you haven't quite brought in yet, you're gonna have to do PG-13/R-rated for a couple of things. And mm-hmm. I think that's a smart step for Disney to do. Not just because, oh, violence is cool or whatever, but like, because obviously MCU's been PG or whatever since it started. But I think it's interesting for them to try to experiment with this stuff. And it's not like the most gory thing you've ever seen. It's just more mature.
Yeah.
And it's got like some darker tones and stuff. But the thing is, if they do want to get back into the sort of Daredevil, Punisher, Echo sort of, you know, Netflix gritty area, you're going to kind of have to do this. Because if you did do the Daredevil show, all this, or if you do bring back Punisher, or, you know, those kinds of things, and you've got Kingpin in there, I think if you keep it too family friendly, too sort of MCU family friendly, it's going to hold it back. And I think people would notice and would feel that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a very, very smart choice. And if they do basically that for the Daredevil show, which that's got a lot going for it at the moment, I think they're doing some very smart stuff. It kind of feels like, okay, Bob, which one was it? Chapek came in. He wanted to kind of like flood the market with Marvel stuff. And as much as I enjoyed loads of it, there was too much of it at one point. And like Kevin Feige kind of lost his grip on it, because he was not because of his fault, but because of the things that changed. And then Iger was sort of like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to come out of retirement and sort of save the day.
Yeah.
And then since he's come back in, it's sort of like, no, we're not going to really cancel anything, but we're really going to slow stuff down and spread things out a bit more. Because there's only one MCU film this year. Obviously, there's the other Marvel Sony stuff, but whatever. So I think doing that and kind of getting a bit of a grip back on things, getting Daredevil back in, sorting that show out from what it was going to be, and having Echo be kind of in the mix as well, that the sort of street level stuff, I think is going to be quite smart. That aside, no, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I get what you kind of mean about doing it maybe as a film, but it was so short and sweet anyway, because some of the episodes are sort of 35 minutes, or they're really, really short, or like there's only five of them and they're really, really short. So I get what you mean, but
yeah,
I think it's short enough anyway. So
yeah, maybe. I mean, there are good things in it, certainly. It didn't quite grab me as much as some of the other shows have. The character, I think, having her using echoes of her past, and you know, that's sort of where the echo thing comes from, I think is an interesting concept. And you know, she's also a deaf character, which is nice to see, and handled very well the way that they sort of do that. And the fact that they're doing a superhero film where, you know, an awful lot of it has to be subtitled as well, because you know, there's very little actual dialogue across it.
There's some very interesting technology used in that show as well.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen anywhere before. And that made me curious to know what's going on in the real world with like what we're doing with sign language and stuff, because I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
One thing I really like as well, and they do this in the Coda film, which is on Apple, the kind of muffled audio deaf person effect. I love that in certain stuff, but it isn't in a lot of things. So I think we could try and do that more. I don't know. It's got this effect, which I think is quite cool. So.
Yeah, there were some interesting things going on with it. In terms of the maturity rating, it's interesting where that landed because it isn't anywhere near up to the grittiness of Daredevil Netflix series. I don't think it quite pushed that far. And I would argue it's probably British ratings. It's not really an 18, it's maybe a 15, possibly a 12. You know, I mean, it's kind of, there is violence in there and it's more than you maybe would see in a normal Marvel thing, but I don't think it pushed way further.
It was a good test, I thought.
Yeah. And I kind of feel that particularly if they do a Punisher series, you would have to go further than what they did with that.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's an interesting sort of toe in the water, I think, into that sort of
thing. It's so funny how, like, it's got that deep sort of mature rating, set your thing to whatever for Echo and the kind of sort of thing, and it's like watch Echo on Disney Plus, and it's funny how we've got to a point where, like, you can go and watch the ABC thing with Mickey Mouse and then you can watch Echo and the Walking Dead on Disney Plus. And we've got such a you can learn the alphabet with Mickey Mouse, or you can, like, watch Alien Zombies, or something like
it is kind of strange. One of the other positives to come out of it is the daughter of Friends in America had seen the series. She's 12 or something, so dubious as to whether she should have been asked necessarily be watching anyway, but she was watching with her dad, so it's fine. She came out and said, oh, I really want to learn American Sign Language, which is what they use on there. So, you know, if it's helping getting people interested in learning sign language, that's no bad thing either. On to other street level shows. Reacher season 2 finished, which I really, really enjoyed. Have you watched that one yet?
No, and everyone keeps telling me to go and do that, but that happens with a lot of shows. And yeah, but I do really want to go and watch it. It's just, you know, pressing play, I suppose.
Yes, Reacher season 2 I thought was fantastic.
I keep seeing gifs of him kicking cars.
I mean, I'm sure he's grown in size from the first one to the second one, because I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I thought the second season was great. It's him with these old army buddies, basically, because one of them gets knocked off and he ends up having to get his old team back together, which isn't the usual MO for Reacher stuff, because he tends to be sort of solo and it tends to be people that are around him. There's like one or two recurring characters, but that's usually it. Really enjoyed the second season. It's already been renewed for a third season, which is currently filming in Toronto. They've announced as well that that will be based on the seventh book in the series called Persuader, which is where Reacher witnesses a brutal kidnap attempt and takes the law into his own hands. He must go undercover to rescue an informant held by a haunting foe from his past. I think that's kind of interesting. What's really intriguing is the fact that they're not doing any of the books in order. They're jumping around quite a lot. They started with book one, and then the season two was book 11, and then season three is going to be book 7. So given that the whole thing with Reacher is he's basically a wanderer and he wanders into a town and that's where the story starts, there's no real need to put them back to back to back and do them in order. So, you know, you can basically do them in any order you like. So I think whatever works as a TV adaptation, but they've been doing a stunning job with that. If you like the things like Jack Ryan, which I know you do, I certainly think you should be looking at Reacher.
I do like what Amazon's doing with espionage. They had Hannah, the 3 seasons, that was quite good. Jack Ryan, 4 seasons. This, they've got 2 of so far. So they're building that up quite nicely as well.
Yeah, so I think they've done well with sort of adaptations. I mean, they have Bosch for years as well, which is another sort of decent adaptation of a book series. Certainly Reacher is worth going to check out. So that's all the stuff I've been doing since we've been off. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. First one isn't so much a cancellation because we kind of knew this already because she'd said it before, but the flight attendant is not returning for a third season. Kaylee Cuoco, who exec produced on that as well as starring in it, had previously kind of indicated that, I mean, it was only designed as a limited series in the first place anyway, and then they came up with a story for a second season, so they made a second season. And she'd already kind of intimated that they wouldn't do a third season. I mean, they may do one, but it wouldn't be for a while, and if they did, it would have to be something that makes sense and a story they could find for it. She's just said recently that they're not doing a third season. She loved playing the character. She's very proud of the two seasons that they've done, but they're not going to do a third, which I'm fine with because, I mean, I loved the first two seasons of that. I thought it was brilliant. I thought she was great in it. Very, very enjoyable. She's now, of course, doing Based on a True Story, which is another brilliant series. And I mean, it got mixed reviews in the US, and I'm not entirely sure why, because I really, really enjoyed it. And if you like The Flight Attendant, and I think you'll like Based on a True Story. It's wonderfully dark and it has that same dark sort of humour to it. I don't think that's a huge shock, but yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, she's still also, of course, doing Harley Quinn and that. Yeah. At the end of the day, if you come up with a limited series idea and then, hey, I've got an idea for a second one, it still works, but not quite as much. And then you don't have an idea for a third one. It's okay to leave these things alone.
Yeah.
Because the thing you don't want to do at the end of the day is like, quick, let's come up with an idea for a third one. And then it's bad. And, you know, it's like, that show had two good seasons, but that third one kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely fine. It's been off for a while anyway. I liked the first two seasons anyway, so that's fine.
Yeah. So I'm not shocked by that at all. Schmigadoon has been cancelled by Apple after two seasons, which I think is a shame because it was such a wonderfully bonkers series. That was the musical comedy where a couple are out backpacking and they end up in this town called Schmigadoon that is sort of this weird magical town. It's Keegan-Michael Key in the lead role and Celie Strong is the other lead. They're trapped there until they can fix their sort of relationship. But it's very, very funny. They ran it for two seasons, but they've decided it's not coming back for a third, which is a shame because it's a nice off the wall Apple show, that one, if you don't check that one out.
If Apple cancels a show, though, there's usually a good reason because they don't do it very often.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually the case of that, or your show gets three seasons anyway, but then it ends with a third season.
I get the feeling that the seasons are kind of self-contained-ish with that. So I don't know. That maybe, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% on that, but it might still be worth watching without sort of worrying about it landing on a cliffhanger. Julia, the Max series, which runs on Sky over here, that's been cancelled after two seasons, so that won't be coming back. Minx, which runs, I think, on Paramount Plus over here, that's been cancelled again after getting two seasons. It was reprieved, but it was somewhere else, and then Starz picked it up and reprieved it for a second season, and they've now cancelled it, so that won't be coming back. Disney has cancelled American Born Chinese after one season, which is a real shame, because I rather enjoyed that. It was a very different kind of off-the-wall comic book.
Is that the Michelle Yeoh thing?
Yeah, that was the Michelle. No, that's the Michelle Yeoh one.
Oh, right.
It's a shame that they're not bringing that back. I can't say I'm overly surprised because I don't think there was as much hype around it as they hoped, considering it had Michelle Yeoh in it and Zaki Yuan in it, and they were.
She's a national treasure.
Yeah, so. and it came out around just after sort of all the Oscar buzz, so I think they were hoping for a bit more of a push on it. Unfortunately, it didn't get it, but it's a sort of variation on the kind of Monkey King Chinese legend story, which has been done a million times, a million different ways, but I really rather enjoyed what they did with that. That's gone after one season. Our Flag Means Death, they confirmed a couple of weeks ago that has been cancelled by Max after two seasons, which I'm really, really sad about because the first season of that was superb. A second season is coming reasonably soon to the BBC, but that's a real, real shame because it was such a wonderful show and really fun and really funny. Great group of people. I've seen them at Comic Cons a number of times and they're always, the cast always seems so lovely, and very sad that that's going because I rather enjoyed that. Wolfpack has been cancelled by Paramount Plus after one season. That was the sort of spin-off, not spin-off, of Teen Wolf that they made. So and they did a big song and dance about, but I don't think it landed anywhere near as well as they hoped it did. So that's gone. And they've confirmed that The Good Doctor is going to end with its seventh season, which, seven seasons, solid run.
Yeah.
It does seem to be coming to a proper conclusion as well, not cancelled. They are going to end it. It's one of those things, we're seeing this quite a lot, actually, that things coming to an end after seven seasons. And the reason for that tends to be that that's when the cast have to renegotiate their contracts. So it means if you're a relatively successful show, everything gets renegotiated and all the prices go up. And the problem with all the prices going up is it means it doesn't make the show, from a business standpoint, necessarily viable anymore, particularly if it's made by an outside studio, which this was, because it's made for ABC by Sony. So that's why you're seeing a lot of things come to an end after seven seasons. It's a shame, but you know, you can't complain at a seven season run. I mean, that's a good, pretty good going. And I think they are actually bringing it to a proper conclusion, so that's good. In terms of renewals, Slow Horses was, I think, one of the first things of the year to be renewed. That's been picked up for a fifth season. Interestingly, they only mention a fifth season and not a fifth and sixth, because they've renewed them in batches of two, so they can film them back to back. They filmed or are filming the fourth season, because we've had three seasons go out, so they've renewed it for a fifth. Whether that means they're just slowing down the renewals, or whether that's a sign that maybe they're only going to do five, I don't know. But I'm all up for having more Slow Horses. I don't know how many books there are in the series. I can't remember. I think it might have been seven or eight. So, I mean, they've got a limited amount of things that they could actually do anyway. But I love that show. It's so, so good. That's being renewed for a fifth season, which is great. So we've got a fourth season to come, and then there'll be a fifth.
Oh, has the fourth one not come out yet?
No. Third one is the one that's just come out. Fourth one is either has already been shot or they're still filming it at the moment. But that will come out later this year.
Nice.
The Greg Davies comedy The Cleaner has been renewed for a third season on the BBC. That's a little comedy that seems to have slipped slightly under the radar. I don't see that many people talking about it, but when you mention it, people go, oh yeah, I really like that. It's a wonderfully odd series where he's a crime scene cleaner and meets these very, very strange people every time he goes to clean a crime scene. And Greg Davies is eminently watchable. It's really fun. I haven't seen all of them. I've seen a few of the first season of it, but I really rather enjoy, and I forget that it's on iPlayer, and I need to go back and watch more of it, because it is very, very fun. They're half hour comedies. It's basically Greg Davies goes to clean the crime scene, meets people while he's there who are either the owners of the house or, you know, the wherever it is that he's cleaning, and they rope in guest stars for each of that. So they've had people like David Mitchell, they had Helen Bonham Carter, I think, one of them. They've got all sorts of wonderful kind of one-off people that come in and do it. So he's sort of the connective tissue between it. But it's a really fun series. So you can go check that out. It's on iPlayer. First two seasons are up there. And Disney Plus has basically confirmed that Ahsoka is coming back for a second season. They basically said that they're developing it at the moment, so it's going to be back for a second season by the looks of things, which I don't think is a huge shock. It'd be interesting to see how they do that, given that they ended with people in different places, let's say, without spoiling anything. Given where they ended it with people, I do wonder whether you're going to be following just Ahsoka, or whether you're going to be following Ahsoka and Thrawn and that side of things. I don't know. I did wonder whether they wouldn't do a second season of Ahsoka and they'd do a Thrawn series or an Ezra series or, you know, something like that. So yes, but apparently there is another series of that coming, which is no great shock, particularly given that it's Dave Filoni's baby or babies, essentially, those characters.
Yeah.
And Dave Filoni is now chief creative officer of Star Wars. So, I mean, it's no great surprise that they're making more of that, I don't think. In terms of pickups and other news, we have got a few air dates for some interesting things. Star Wars, as just mentioned, the final season of The Bad Batch, that's coming on the 21st of February. So that will be on Disney Plus. Sticking with space stuff, Halo season 2, first two episodes of that are going to be airing on Thursday, the 8th of February on Paramount Plus. I rather enjoyed the first season of that. I know a lot of people didn't. It got very mixed reviews. I had fun with it, but then I'm not the biggest Halo player. And I imagine if you like the Halo universe as it is, you're going to be very upset by it. I entirely understand why. But
see, I was never bothered by the... because I've played the games and they're good, apart from the fifth one and Infinite. I was never bothered by they're not doing the lore properly and stuff, because I don't really know much about that. It was more that you've got such brilliant action, which really depicts that really, really great. But it just kept taking the helmet off, and it was so annoying. And I get it, you've got this actor, you want to show his face. I mean, on The Mandalorian, like, you've got Pedro Pascal, and they keep his helmet on all the time. I just want that same kind of, like, when you're looking at Mandalorian and, like, Grogu's there or something, and they're giving each other these looks, and, okay, you can get more facial expression off of Grogu because you can see his face, but, like, with Mandalorian, you just get these sort of side looks, and you're trying to, like, read this mysterious character's kind of, read what's kind of going on there. I just wanted the same thing for Master Chief, but he just, even when he was in combat, sometimes he kept taking his helmet off. And I did see, I can't quote him exactly because it was probably misquoted or taken out of context or something. There was something going around that said, like, oh, if you don't like that we take the helmet off, the show might not be for you or something. And it's like, that's just like, I don't know if that's exactly what he said or whatever, but like, that's all I really kind of wanted to make it better, and maybe some better writing and spots. But the action was really, really good. I remember when they did, of course, they had the pilot episode, a really big action set piece. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really great. And then it just had this other stuff in it. It's got the potential to be something really, really amazing, but I just have to correct a couple of things. But I don't know if there's the mentality there to sort of, oh, we should change it, or this is just the way the show is, kind of thing.
I mean, I think at this point you've kind of done the damage, so you may as well stick with him taking the helmet off. I do agree with you. I can excuse taking the helmet off when he's not in combat. Taking the helmet off when he's in combat, that's just dumb. So I'm with you on that, certainly. I can excuse them taking the helmet off outside of that. I mean, I get why it upsets fans, because he's not supposed to do that and all that sort of stuff, but I can get it. I mean, I know the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd movie, when they had him take his helmet off, was really annoyed me. But as I say, I'm not the biggest Halo fan. So, I mean, I've played some of the games and I enjoyed them, but it's not sort of a universe that I've spent all that much time in. But as a series, as a sci-fi series, I thought it was good and it was fun. But Thursday, the 8th of February on Paramount Plus, if you want to check out season 2 of that. The completely made up Adventures of Dick Turpin has got a premiere date. That's 1st of March on Apple TV. I'm quite looking forward to this. It is Noel Fielding as Dick Turpin in the lead role. It's got a whole array of like British comedy people, including Greg Davies at one point pops up in this, but there's a whole array of British comedy people that are supporting him across this and even in guest spots and in other roles. 1st of March for it. It's an Apple series. It looks very, very silly, and I'm quite looking forward to that. So, for the people of my age, you'll remember there was a Dick Turpin series on TV when we were quite little. It was sort of the, I don't know, Sunday evening sort of Doctor Who slots type thing that they used to run when they, and I really loved the old series. This is going to be far sillier than that, I'm fairly sure, but I quite like the look of this. Dick Turpin, of course, is a highwayman. That's basically the premise for it, is he ends up running this crew of highwaymen. Second half of Invincible Season 2 has got a premiere date as well, 14th of March for that, so that will be back. I enjoyed the first 4 episodes, but now we're getting 4 more. I kind of wish they hadn't split them into 2. I don't know whether that's because they were still finishing them or what. I'd rather they drop that all at once or release them weekly, you know, in one go, because it was like 4 episodes and you're like, oh, there isn't more now. It was slightly too short a run, I think that. But the second 4 are dropping on the 14th of March, so you'll be able to catch that on Prime Video. Twisted Metal, the Anthony Mackie series based on the video game, that has been picked up by Paramount UK. They have confirmed. We haven't got an exact date for it, but the current ads they're running suggest it will run before the end of April. So don't know exactly when yet. I mean, it's a Peacock series in the US, been picked up by Paramount Plus over here. And I mean, it ran June or something last year over there. So it's been a long time coming, but at least it's going to be airing somewhere over here. So has been picked up. And for NCIS fans, there is another NCIS series in the works, although this one is slightly different to the others, because rather than it being NCIS New Orleans or Los Angeles or whatever, this is called NCIS Origins, and it follows the early career of Gibbs, who, of course, in the main show is played by Mark Harmon. He's going to be the narrator for it, but it's going to be a different actor that they cast, obviously, in the lead role, because it's a much younger character. So it's as he starts his career, which I think is an interesting different take for the NCIS franchise. It's a beloved character, so why not? Sure, do that. There were a bunch of other news stories, of course, which came while we were off air as well. Few things, just in case you missed any of these. Mandalorian and Grogu are heading to the movies. The next outing is going to be on the big screen, apparently. No details of the plot of the film, but it will be Pedro Pascal back as Din and Grogu as Grogu, I guess. When we last left them, of course, they'd moved to the outskirts of Navarro's capital and were sort of kicking back after a long-deserved break. And, I mean, it did feel like they could sort of end it there, but obviously we knew they were going to pick it back up again. I think a movie with those two makes perfect sense as a next step for them. I mean, they're good dynamic characters. It's enjoyable. It'll be fun. Why not?
These are really, really beloved characters. So I'm very, very certain that this will be a success, given that the three seasons we already have were. People love Pedro Pascal for different reasons, but we'll love him for certain reasons. Grogu's always interesting and cute and whatnot. And obviously they make a very good pair. So yeah, Mandalorian on the big screen. I was going to say I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner, but we have only had three seasons. But that's quite exciting to sort of hear about. I did hear some stuff about like, oh, this could be like the final bit, or there might not be a four. I think if you're Disney and you're smart, you keep these two characters around and you keep putting them in things because people absolutely love them. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the actual like active Star Wars stuff, I mean, I know there's like the Rey films coming out and whatever's going on with all the film stuff, and there's obviously, you know, some of the series and things. Kind of the thing that's really holding Star Wars up at the moment, I would say, is these two, because people really do love them. But even outside of The Mandalorian, there's not a lot of sort of active Star Wars stuff. Like, there's not an ongoing trilogy or anything at the moment. People are waiting to come back. Like, we finished with all that. And I know there's some films and some other shows, but these are really kind of the main two at the moment. So that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Completely. I mean, they keep on announcing movies and then cancelling them as well, which is the frustrating thing. But I think part of the reason that they gave Dave Filoni the position that they gave him was they needed somebody that was a sort of Kevin Feige figure to actually try and get a handle on what they were doing with all the Star Wars projects and actually point it in a direction. So I think
steer the ship in the right direction a bit.
So I think that's what they're doing, and that's good. And the reaction to the movie being announced was very positive, I think. So that's awesome. Moving from Star Wars to Star Trek, there is another prequel film in development at Paramount. Apparently Andor's Tony Hayes is the person that's attached to it. But it's from Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams' company. It's said to be an origin story set decades before the 2009 Star Trek film. So it's not connected to the TV stuff. It's connected to the movie stuff. However, if it's a prequel to the 2009 film, the 2009 film was the thing that split the timeline from the original universe and the new Kelvin timeline universe. So if it's a prequel thing, is it in the original universe? Is it in the Kelvin timeline? What is it? So there is apparently an argument that when the timeline got broken during the events of the 2009 Star Trek film, that reverberates both ways down the timeline, which is the sort of, if you've seen the Flash movie, it's what Michael Keaton's Batman sort of tries to explain with the spaghetti, in that is that once you start messing with time, it screws it in all directions.
Barry.
Barry. So that is possibly an argument for this, in which case it wouldn't necessarily need to dovetail into anything that we've already seen with the, you know, the TV cast. It's a little eye-raising that that's where they're going with this, but apparently it is in development. Of course, I mean, again, we don't know whether this will actually land or not, because just like Star Wars, Star Trek has had a million failed attempts to make movies, you know.
When was the last film?
Star Trek Beyond, which was in 2016.
Okay, it's not as long ago as I thought, but yeah, still.
So, I mean, but it has been a while. I mean, 2016 is going back a bit. By the time this is all sort of together, and you're almost 10 years probably by the time this has any chance of getting off the ground. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. It very much depends on what they do in terms of, I mean, because it would have to be a new cast as well, because you can't bring back the cast from the other Star Trek films. Apparently Star Trek 4, in terms of the film universe with the Chris Pine cast, is still in development as well, but that's been in development hell for years. So whether that actually happens, God only knows. But this is in addition to that. Would be a completely new cast, apart from, you could possibly bring Zachary Quinto back as Spock, because depending how far back you go, he may be capable of playing that character because Vulcans age differently. But other than that, it would have to be a completely different cast.
Hmm.
So we'll see. But it is out there. There was some casting for The Last of Us, which I put in because I knew you were going to be on. So Caitlin Dever as Abby and Yum Mazzino as Jesse. Dever is best known for her roles in shows such as Justified, Last Man Standing, Unbelievable, and most recently the miniseries Dopesick. Mazzino is coming off the back of his role in Netflix's Beef, where he played the younger brother to Danny, who was the lead played by Stephen Young from The Walking Dead. Those are the two roles that have been cast. I've purposely not put anything else in about who these characters are and how they interact with people. I mean, other than we obviously know they interact with Ellie, but that's about it.
Yeah, so I did one of my things for when Caitlin Dever was given the role, just because Abby is a very particular addition and character to the show. So that'll be very, very interesting to see how that goes down. There was rumors for a long, long time it was going to be Shannon Berry, but obviously Caitlin got given the role. I did see an interview afterwards with Caitlin, which was from before she got cast, and this person called Perry was saying like, hey, I hear you're a big fan of like Naughty Dog and Last of Us, and she was like really excited for some of that stuff. I think that was when the first season was in development or something, right. And she said, oh yeah, it'd be great to be involved and stuff. Well, now we have that. So she's going to be probably very, very good in that role. It's going to be very, very interesting to see Abby on the show, just given like just that character's entire journey and all of the many, 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 many different opinions I've heard over 4 years. So she's going to be a massive, massive part of that, but I'm sure she's going to crush that role.
Yeah.
And again, I get this whole thing of like, oh, you know, does she look like her and that kind of stuff. But by the time we get through hair and makeup and wardrobe, and then we see the first actual picture of her as Abby, well, before we go, oh, okay, that's, you know, looks cool and that kind of stuff. The other guy, I'm not like familiar with him or whatever, who's playing Jesse here. Obviously I'm familiar with the character. Jesse's still got a very big part in the games. He's just not got Abby's part, because Abby's part is absolutely massive in the second game. They did also cast Dina, which is really, really good. They've still probably got, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and count right now, probably still about 6, 7, 8 characters to cast for this second season, if not more than that, because there's a lot of new people, which will be interesting to see. But as always, I trust everybody involved. And I did see this, I think it was good because they're going to start shooting really, really soon. I saw this first photo of guys playing Jesse, the woman that's playing Dina, and there was Ellie there, and there was a few of the other people, and they're kind of in this group photo, and you can start to see like them as those characters together kind of thing. So just go wait for it to start filming, take all the time you need. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely brilliant. Then get a trailer, get everybody very excited.
Yeah.
And then have the show come back next year.
Isabella Merced is the girl that they cast as a woman that they cast as Dina. She was the live action Dora the Explorer, she's actually 22. So, she's older than maybe she seemed in that film, but she's in a Netflix film called Sweet Girl as well, and been in a number of different things. So yeah.
For some reason keep seeing like, oh, are they going to recast Ellie? And it's like, no, they're not recasting Ellie. And it's like,
why would they?
And I saw some things of like, oh, she's not old enough for that. She's the same age as Ellie is in the second game.
She is. I saw
these videos of like Bella doing some boxing and getting trained up and stuff. So that's really, really cool. But there's not going to be an issue with Bella play. I get it, because Ellie's more like older and she's a little bit different and more grown up and more mature and stuff. But I'm very, very sure that Bella Ramsey can handle that. So
You only need to go and watch her in the the prison drama that she did with Jodie Whittaker on the BBC. I mean, if you go and check that out, you can see she can handle adult roles perfectly well. She's perfectly capable of doing this. That's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week on TV. We have Domino Day, which is a new supernatural series which follows a young woman on all the dating apps, but Domino isn't swiping to find her soulmate. She's swiping to hunt. It's a sort of witch sort of drama. Oh. It's a young adult series. It's for BBC Three. 31st of January, that lands on BBC Three. So I suspect it'll all be up on iPlayer at the same time as well. 9 p.m. 31st of January, that lands on BBC Three. It's called Domino Day. So could be an interesting one to check out if you like sort of supernatural teen dramas. Sort of the third and final season of that show lands on the 1st of February on Sky Comedy at 9 p.m. so you can check that out. Fantasy Football League is back for its second season. That's on Sky Max on the 2nd of February at 10 p.m. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is the Donald Glover and Maya Erskine adaptation of the movie that had Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in it. They've got a slightly different version of it for the TV show, but Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Prime Video, that's on the 2nd of February.
Well, it's got Donald Glover in it, so it's impossible for it to be bad.
So, yes, that's just, and that's he wrote it as well, you know. So,
well, then it's even more impossible for it to be bad.
So. Yeah, so I have reasonably high hopes that that's going to be good. If Phoebe Waller-Bridge was involved initially, and it was going to be the pair of them, and they, I think they disagreed on the direction it should go, and they had a very amicable parting, and Donald went off on his own and wrote the rest of it. So we'll see. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, 2nd of February on Prime Video. Genius MLK X, which, as you guess from the title, follows Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. National Geographic, that lands on, that is the 3rd of February at 8 p.m. I don't know whether that's going on to Disney Plus at the same time as well, but it's going out on the National Geographic channel by the sounds of it. That's certainly where it's popped up. Technically, that's season 4, but obviously they're completely self-contained anthologies. So that will be there. Death in Paradise returns for its 13th season and 100th episode as well. That will be BBC One on the 4th of February at 9 p.m. That lands for a more light-hearted murder in the Caribbean. I mean, 100 episodes is pretty impressive for a UK show. You know, that's good going. Our Flag Means Death, as I mentioned earlier, comes back for its second and final season. That's on the 8th of February at 10 p.m. I mean, not final season if a lot of people on the internet get their way, because there are petitions all over the place to try and save that show. But Our Flag Means Death, BBC iPlayer.
Seven before.
Yeah, it has.
People have saved shows before.
I mean, it feels like it's one that
all Netflix... got a cut of a film created. It's not a cut.
Yeah, it feels like one that Netflix could step in on that. I mean, you know, it's got a beloved fan base and it's a very beloved show. But Our Flag Means Death season 2,
they pick it up for one season and get rid of it.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the only problem. 5th of February at 10 p.m. on BBC iPlayer for that. Curb Your Enthusiasm is back for its 12th and definitely final this time season, because he had a final season before and then came back again, but I think this is definitely final. Sky Comedy, 5th of February at 9 p.m. for Larry David's groundbreaking comedy series, Curb Your Enthusiasm, final season. And there's a little show coming to ITVX called GWED. That's GWED. It's a comedy about teen life in Liverpool. It looks very intriguing and slightly weird and off the wall. 5th of February for GWED. It's on ITVX. I have no idea whether it'll be any good or not. It's a mostly unknown cast with a relatively new writer. But I've seen trailers and bits and pieces for it, and it does look kind of interesting. Potentially quite a tough sell, but I have a huge affection for Liverpool and that humour. I'm interested to check that out and see what it's like. So that's GWED, 5th of February on ITVX for that. That's all the shows coming next week on TV. If people want to find more of you, where can they find you?
You can head over to entertainmenttalk.org or the same name on your podcast platforms for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. There's not been a lot of Man United stuff lately because we only played 2 games this month, but we took a trip to Newport County and we almost mucked it up, but thankfully we didn't. So that is in the FA Cup, so it was good. I did a big DCEU wrap-up podcast because, of course, we got no more content from that because got the DCEU coming up. So talked about, well, I'll say my final thoughts. I'm sure we'll bring up the DCEU again at some point. I did my final rankings and then I thought back to those final rankings and then looked at my list. Apparently I didn't put Aquaman on there. But anyway, there's 16 DCEU films, but that was an interesting one to kind of do. We brought Gaming Talk back recently. That's been quite good. So yeah, got some stuff going on over there as well. I'm not really streaming on Twitch at the moment. I'm doing mainly streaming on YouTube. I've done 3 parts of the Last of Us Part 2's No Return Mode. So that was streamed on YouTube. They're all videos over there. And there's also the game clips and stuff that Entertainment Talk plays over on YouTube. And that's me at the moment.
Cool. So go and check out Matt over on Entertainment Talk for lots more podcasts. It's at this point I would usually say go and check out Bex on Twitch. However, she's on hiatus at the moment. So don't worry if you've not seen her posting on social media or around. She has basically decided that she is going to take a break from all the social medias. She's doing some other stuff. Everything's perfectly fine. She's on a break, basically. She's on hiatus. Hopefully she will come back at some point, but she's decided to take a break from streaming and recharge a bit and all that good stuff, which I think sometimes you need. So
She is an incredibly hardworking person. You just need a break. So it's understandable.
So she's on hiatus right now. She will be back, I'm sure, at some point, but doing other things right now. So if you're wondering where Bex was, that's all it is. There's nothing else going on. That's all it is. Daryl, of course, you can go and check out on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series which you love, which are shot in Canada as well. So for us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, Blue Sky at Geektown, Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We will be back next week. See you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.